Hi everyone, this is Betty and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, October 9th. So let's get back to the pandemic. Restore Illinois Phase 4, this is day 106. And in Illinois we have 310,700 cases with 8,910 deaths. In Champaign County, we have 5,103 cases and 27 deaths. And in Douglas County, we have 366 cases and 7 deaths. In Ford County, we have 176 cases with 5 deaths. Piatt County has 169 cases and no deaths. And in Vermilion, we have 982 cases with 34 deaths. And a little blurb on the Illinois impact locally. It says the CU Public Health District debuted new metrics on its daily Champaign County dashboard. And the new metrics are close contacts quarantined, 7,511 total, with 1,477 active cases that are quarantined. Close contacts that became positive out of those quarantined, 798. And the 1,755 COVID-19 hospitalizations reported statewide Thursday were the most since June 18th. Vermilion accounted for 8 of those cases hospitalized. Ford has 3 hospitalized, and Champaign County has 2 hospitalized. Oh, another article on the front page of the News Gazette is the target date to reopen 2022, and this is on the Landmark Hotel, and it's by Ben Zigderman. Pending Urbana City Council approval, the new developer of the Landmark Hotel will get a 1-year extension to start work on the long-awaited renovation. If approved, Icon Hospitality LLC would have until July 1st, 2021 to begin construction and hopes to open it as a Hilton Tapestry branded hotel by the end of 2022. Icon Hospitality bought the 97-year-old hotel in January from Gio Jinyan for $1 million and plans to spend $15 million renovating it. Icon cited COVID-19 for the delay of construction, which was supposed to have begun by July 1st of this year. Icon is working with an architecture firm to give this hotel a new name and logo, but wasn't able to visit the property to conduct the necessary architectural and design work during the lockdown, causing a delay in progress. It also said that delay in the opening should help its business as it relies on large-scale meeting and event spaces, as well as the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign resuming substantial in-person programming. Under its new timeline, branding and architecture work would be completed in the first quarter of next year, followed by permitting and a review by Hilton. Construction is expected to last from the second quarter of 2021 through the third quarter of 2022, when it would be inspected, staffed, before opening in the fourth quarter. After a review from Paytech Hospitality Consulting, Urbana staff are recommending the extension, noting the hospitality industry isn't expected to fully recover until 2023. Aldermen will discuss the extension at their meeting Monday. The hotel has been closed since April 2016 and for sale since 2015. Last summer, the city signed a redevelopment agreement with Icon Hospitality to renovate and reopen the hotel. Under the initial letter of intent, the city agreed to reimburse the developer at least $5.2 million through a tax increment financing district. With interest on the expected 10-year bond, the total cost to the city could be about $6.5 million. Jan had owned the hotel since 2010 when he bought it for $600,000 and renovated most of the rooms, but returned $1 million in incentives to the city after not reopening its restaurant and conference center. 3 years ago, the city rejected a $24.5 million proposal by a New Jersey-based firm that requested $9.5 million in city funds. The city said it would have cost taxpayers $15 million over 20 years, while the developer only had 2% equity in the project. The new developer has committed to a minimum of 20% equity in the project. Since that deal was rejected, the hotel was put up for auction twice, initially not meeting Jan's reserve price. The top bidder in the second auction never made a 10% deposit, and the backup bidder backed out after failing to reach a development agreement with the city. The hotel opened in 1923 as the Urbana Lincoln. It was later bought by Carson Peary Scott and Company in 1965 before it sold to Jumer Hotel Chains in the 70s. So that's the latest in the saga about the Landmark Hotel. The other front page story is a school by school positive test among students and staff. And this is by Jeff D'Alessio. Across the area today, classrooms in 39 school buildings will be without students. For most, the entire Champaign-Urbana and Georgetown Ridge Farm districts, Uni High, Campus Middle School for girls, it's been all remote learning all fall. For others, like the six schools in the Westville and Bismarck-Henning districts, two-week building shutdowns took effect late this week after multiple new COVID-19 cases emerged. Between off-again, on-again sporting events and switching back and forth between in-person and remote learning, it's been a school year of one step forward, two steps back, said Westville Superintendent Seth Miller, who himself entered quarantine because of a close contact Thursday. The same day the district he oversees switched to online-only learning. For one district school, Judith Glaucoma Elementary, it's the second time in as many months students have shifted from in-person to at-home. It's not just the positive tests that have made this a challenging year for all in the education business. It's all of the students and staffers who come down with a symptom or who come into contact with someone who tested positive and are ordered to stay home. In the Hoopston area district alone, 144 students and 18 staffers were out on quarantine, Superintendent Robert Richardson reported Thursday. In the Oakwood district, 7 positive tests have led to 78 close contacts being kept home. 46 students and staffers have had to quarantine in Milford, despite just 2 confirmed cases. Area-wide, among the 40 districts and schools that responded to Thursday's News Gazette survey, positive students' tests outnumbered staff cases by more than 2-1, or 110 to 46. Sarah Gordo reported a Piatt County high 9 cases, but doesn't distinguish between students and staff for privacy reasons. Neither of the Monticello district's 2 positive tests, one student, one staffer, both related to cases in their own households, led to any further quarantines. Also escaping without widespread absences, Fisher. Neither of the 2 students returned to school after being exposed, that was in Fisher. And in St. Joseph, none of the 6 cases was traced back to the school. So we have around here, they've got a chart of around the area News Gazette survey. On Thursday, the News Gazette asked officials from every school in the area, public and private, K through 12, for a breakdown of positive COVID-19 tests among the students and staff this school year. Here is the rundown. And I'll give the school district first, and then how many students have been positive COVID cases, and then the staff. Academy High, there are zero students and zero staff that has any positive COVID cases. In Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond District, there were 6 students and 2 staff who tested positive. In Arcola District, 3 students, 1 staff. Armstrong High School, 2 students, no staff. Armstrong Ellis Grade School, 0 students and 0 staff. Bement District, 2 students, 0 staff. In Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin, 8 students, 2 staff. Blue Ridge District, 3 students, 6 staff. Clinton District, 9 students, 3 staff. Countryside School, 1 student, 0 staff. Danville, no information is available. Deland Weldon District, 0 students, 0 staff. Fisher District, 2 students, 1 staff. In Gibson City, Melvin Sibley District, 6 students and 3 staff tested positive. In Gifford Grade School, 1 student and 1 staff. Heritage District, no information is available. Holy Cross Elementary, 0 students, 0 staff. Hoopston Area District, 7 students, 4 staff tested positive. Judah Christian, 0 students, 0 staff. Ludlow Grade School, 0 students, 0 staff. Mahamasimo District, 7 students, 3 staff tested positive. Milford District, 2 students, 0 staff. Montessori of CU, 1 student, 0 staff. Monticello District, 1 student, 1 staff. Oakwood District, 5 students, 2 staff tested positive. PBL District, 6 students, 1 staff. Prairie View Ogden District, 0 students, 0 staff. Rantoul City Schools District, 4 students, 5 staff. Rantoul High School, 5 students, 0 staff tested positive. In Rantoul St. Malachi, 0 students, 0 staff. St. Joseph Grade / Middle School, 1 student, 0 staff. St. Joseph Ogden High School, 3 students and 3 staff tested positive. St. Matthew School, 0 students, 0 staff. St. Thomas More High School, 0 students, 0 staff. Salt Fork District, 9 students, 1 staff. Shiloh District, 2 students, 1 staff tested positive. Thomasboro Grade School, 0 students, 0 staff. Tuscola District, 4 students, 1 staff. Unity District, 4 students, 1 staff. Villa Grove District, 3 students, 0 staff. And lastly, Westfield District, 3 students and 3 staff tested positive. Okay, this is just a little article on Visit Champaign County Funding Back on Agenda, and this is by Ben Zigderman. The Urbana City Council will vote on a $10,000 contribution to Visit Champaign County that had been tabled over some aldermen's concerns about the city's plans for the Urbana Business Association. After the city group presented to the council about its need for funding, the amount for the County Tourism Bureau was discussed this week, and it is back on the table for next week's meeting. Urbana gave Visit Champaign County $10,000 last year. In comparison, Champaign contributes part of its hotel motel tax to the Tourism Bureau with a minimum contribution of $255,000 a year. And we have Ask the Admin, a daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, Julie Pride. The question is, as a public health leader, what did you make of President Donald Trump's messaging, "Don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life," after he left the hospital this week? The answer from Julie Pride. Frankly, I was stunned and horrified. The president continues to put out incorrect information and downplay the seriousness of this virus, and our country is in the mess it is because of this insistence upon politicizing the virus and the public health measures to stop it. A recent Cornell University study found that the single biggest source of COVID-19 misinformation is the President of the United States. This is astonishing and very damaging to the round-the-clock efforts of the millions of people working in public health, the medical field, state and local governments, workplaces, schools, and other places to get the virus under control and our country back to some semblance of normalcy. The White House's outbreak is still unfolding, but it is proving to be a multi-location super spreader event that played out over multiple days. This was 100% preventable. It would have required doing the same basic infection control measures that the entire world has been asked to do to prevent the spread: wearing masks, practicing social distancing, isolating when positive for COVID-19, quarantining those exposed for 14 days, and washing hands. The guidance is not going to change. This is the reality of what we must all do until the pandemic ends. These are not difficult measures. These are not political measures. These are sound public health measures based upon sciences. We know that they work, as we witness it all of the time in our work at the health district. No workplace, school, or other location can keep people with COVID-19 out. That is because it is infectious in people up to 2 days before they develop the symptoms. What we can do, and what we have witnessed in many settings across Champaign County, is follow the measures to prevent its spread or an outbreak. I continue to urge our community to remain vigilant. This virus is nothing to mess with. Get your information from trusted sources. Please continue to do the things that you have been doing so well. Take care of yourselves and others. Wear your mask, stay away from crowds, maintain social distancing with anyone you do not live with, even those you love. Get your flu shot, continue to socialize outside with mask and distancing as much as possible. Cold weather is coming, and that puts everyone at more risk for COVID-19, influenza, and other winter respiratory viruses. Please start thinking about how you are going to protect yourselves, those you love, and our community this winter. Despite the false information that continues to circulate and put lives at risk, this is our reality until the pandemic ends. And let's go on to the second part of the News Gazette called Our County. And I'm going to read an article by Jay Simpson called Jay's Take. And Jay Simpson is a student resource supervisor at Urbana High School who writes for the News Gazette on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. And the title of his article today is "Not Much Interaction, But Plenty of Frustration." While in the break room at work Wednesday, I had the chance to talk with several teachers and staff about their feelings and opinions on remote learning. A few staff members were still all for remote learning and working from home during the corona pandemic, but most were longing for the return of students. Teachers think some students aren't benefiting because it's so hard to interact with them. While they are on Zoom, some students have their cameras off and their microphones on mute, so the teachers can't tell if they're paying attention or understanding the material. That's a problem. In their defense, it is hard to focus on school remotely. Some kids have learning challenges that require one-on-one attention they can't receive at this time in school districts like Urbana and Champaign. That can be discouraging to a kid who already struggles with school. It could make them want to give up completely. If they decide to do that, you have to worry about a lot more than school. Life starts to come hard at them, and then they end up in situations they have no business in all because they didn't have the correct help in school. This school year will be wasted for a lot of students if they aren't allowed to do in-person learning. Kids are failing at a very high rate, and it's hard to put all of the blame on either the students or teachers. I blame the circumstances, but we have to find a way to get these kids back on the right track. They're the future. The other Friday article that is going to be in every Friday is the High School Confidential. And students send in various articles from the local school saying what is going on or has been going on in their school. And from Villa Grove, Daniel Olson and Chloe Reardon, along with Kylie Block and Ava Vollmer, painted a wall to create a green screen in the high school's yearbook room, allowing staff to make video masterpieces. And Judah Christian, with many events such as sports, the homecoming dance, and retreat postponed due to the pandemic, Principal James Moxley brought in a slushy machine so the students had the opportunity to buy Mountain Dew and pina colada flavored slushies. And at Champaign Central, impacted by remote learning, Junior Gia Macedo started a petition titled Champaign Unit 4 School District Help Repair the Education System. Macedo explained a project that, as of this week, had close to 1,000 signatures in an interview with Central's High School Confidential correspondent Perry Lee. What was your motivation for starting the petition? Is a question that Perry asked Gia. In-person school is difficult enough, but online school has been beyond overwhelming, not only for me, but for so many other students. Teachers have been making up for less class time with a great deal of homework that we don't have the time or the energy to do. We have jobs, sports, family, other important things we have to make time for as well. Because of this, we are so focused on just trying to get things done before the deadline, we don't have any time to digest the information. Don't get me wrong, teachers have been working harder than ever, and we all appreciate so much. This is not a petition against teachers. This is a petition to support students. So, the other ones that we have from the local schools, so many schools have not been able to do a homecoming. So the following schools have been doing something called Spirit Week, which is replacing homecoming. And they have special things they do on certain days of the week. Like they might dress in pajamas on one day, and they have a jersey day, or they have a scavenger hunt day, or they had a dress like Richard Simmons days. And the schools that have been going from a homecoming theme to a spirit week are Tuscola, Leroy, Westville, St. Thomas More, Cisna Park, and they seem to be having fun with it, and they have come up with, you know, innovative and new ideas to replace homecoming. And other things that are going on in high school, in Fisher, the yearbook club is holding an art contest. The top three finishers will get a gift card and have their work displayed in the school's 2021 yearbook. And we have at Uni High, students this week began meeting in 20-minute homerooms on Wednesdays with the goal of facilitating interclass bonding and creating spaces to discuss their passions. We also have at Oakwood, at last weekend's Oakwood Invite, the first home meet of the year, the girls' cross-country team placed second and the boys fourth. And we have at Urbana, Phoebe Gerstenecker and Fuzia Garada were recognized by the National Merit Scholarship Program for outstanding performance on the PSAT/NMAQT. And I know some probably people know what that means, but I'm not quite sure what it means, other than they do really well on exams. Salt Fork food classes got into the fall mood by making fun treats, including pumpkin spice milkshakes. And at Milford, the physics class constructed bridges from balsa wood as a culminating project for its study of mechanical equilibrium and forces. Students had to design bridges on computers using their knowledge of forces, scale their designs, and then modify and construct them. And Van Hovland and Jaden Shearman constructed the winning bridge. Armstrong Potomac on September 28th, Anna Duden placed first in the senior night golf match at Blue Ridge High, then followed that with a first place tie at the Vermilion Valley Conference meet on October 1st. At Muhammad Seymour, we have seniors Gren T and Alexis Young are two of the four drum majors in what is a different year for band. Practices are held twice a week, the band split in two for social distancing reasons. The show will be shorter than in the past and won't be part of a public performance because of COVID-19 restrictions. Parents will be invited to watch the 2 to 3 minute show in a practice setting. In Monticello, the Marching Sages, wearing masks and socially distanced, took to the streets for the first time, going from the school to the Piatt County Nursing Home on October 1st. The band continues to practice for its 2020 show, Midnight City. At Schlarman, students are studying remotely until Monday, allowing for the students to be, for the school to be cleaned. In DeLand Weldon, Grace Eckerhouse's band class started practicing for the virtual Christmas concert, making quite a few adjustments due to COVID-19. In Academy High, students partners with the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club for a jump simulation STEM activity focused on the dissection of cheap organs. And in St. Joseph Ogden, administration has allowed local eateries to cater additional lunch options for students under the football bleachers. Off-campus lunch is no longer an option due to COVID-19 restrictions. It makes lunch this year a little better, Senior Haven Atwood said. I was getting tired of my sack lunches. Administration is really trying their hardest to make this year as normal as possible. And in Hoopston area, the first student council meeting was held in the auditorium to follow social distancing rules. Topics were the Spirit Week, annual Fannie Mae fundraiser, and ways to lift student morale. And that's the first half of reading of the News Gazette on Friday, October 9th. I'm going to take a short break and I will be back.